It is GloucesterCast 384. There's three of us today.
Skeleton crew.
McCarthy bailed on us. Kim's not here. We got a skeleton crew.
Jimmy's across the border.
Well, we knew Jimmy wasn't going to be
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right.
We were counting on Kim and Chris, but...
Yeah. Got to take care of these speakers. Hang on 1 second. There we go. All set.
Gotta go.
Pretty soon you'll be across the pond.
That's right.
Pretty soon I'll be across the pond, is right. We're going to transition to our guest cam right here. Transition. And so we have Ralph DiGiorgio with us.
That's a good one.
He's the best. He is the best.
That's good.
Good morning, Gloucester. Ralph DiGiorgio here.
We have Pat on the keyboard.
Good morning, Gloucester.
So if anybody asks questions, Pat is at the keyboard typing under my
name. Trying to keep up.
Under my name. And I'm your host, Joey Shimotaro. Thanks for coming. I have super exciting news. We're going to England next week.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet with our friend, Adventure Man. We're going to live stream.
That's awesome.
Across the pond.
I can't wait.
Across the pond. Yeah.
I can't wait. It's been just about a year since he was here.
It's been just about a year, and he said, come on over, we're going to go over, and we're going to have a blast. And his father, Don.
Don,
with the furry,
Don the muskrat.
With a furry hamster on his back.
The hamster.
He was so fun. And so there's that, and I'm excited about that. It's been a couple weeks since we podcasted.
It feels like longer.
It does.
I was going to say... This feels like a friends reunion.
Yeah.
But it's just the three.
I haven't been here.
Sorry, but it doesn't quite rise to that level.
Yeah, but I haven't been here for a month.
Yeah.
I've been
away.
Yeah,
between Ralph and me traveling,
mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So there's been this huge debate online. So seeing as a lot of people are traveling right now, we're going to get right into it. There's been this debate. I guess there was a woman reclined her seat on an airplane. And yeah. Do you know the story exactly?
I don't know the story, but I saw it.
So the guy that she reclined, you know, her seat back into started like punching the seat.
The last seat in the plane cannot recline because it's up against the wall of the bathroom.
Okay.
So all the seats in front of that can recline. While he is in the upright position, she reclines into him, which basically. Here's the chair. Now, what the airlines have done, and I know this because I saw it on 60 Minutes or one of those shows, but what the airlines have done has essentially taken anywhere between 4 and 6 inches out of every single row to be able to add additional rows. So it doesn't 4 or 6 inches doesn't seem like a lot, but it is when you're on an airplane and your seat is literally... You know, from your face, it's right now, it's about 14 inches from your face. And now, you know, they take away that extra space. And then when you lean back, if you're not able to lean back, the chair is literally in your face.
So in this particular instance of this rage, this airline rage, where the guy starts pounding on the seat in front of him, that's kind of, they should maybe like not allow that second to the last row seat to recline.
Well, then it doesn't make a difference. It's a domino effect. It would be it'd be the same problem all the way
that's
up.
That's true. Okay, that's
the issue is this, okay? The guy was a douche, number one. I mean,
yeah.
He shouldn't have done that.
Right.
He should have formally made a complaint to the airline because that's where it stems from. It's the airlines. I'm telling you, animals in cargo are treated better than some of the people in coach. It's absolutely... I just flew back from Montana on... United Airlines, and it was, you know, 4-hour flight. They didn't even have remember when the TVs used to fall down from the ceiling, and, you know, personal TVs. They didn't even have personal TV there. And it's so tight, and we had some pretty large guys on the trip with us. I don't know how they fit in the seat. It's absolutely horrible. That was United.
Okay.
I read it.
Okay. And the reason I asked you is because I know we're going to get to another topic afterwards. But so here's my thing, though. So I was listening to a bunch of social media on the, on this topic of this airline rage, and a lot of people were making it like anyone that reclines their seat on an airplane is a savage, yeah. is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my head, I'm thinking to myself, and I didn't realize the part about this guy being in the last row and not being able to, his seat not being able to recline. But in my mind, they make the seats able to recline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and I think it's perfectly normal to be, to and acceptable for a person to recline their seat.
One thing that I read yesterday about this particular incident, I don't know how true this is, but apparently the man did complain to the stewardess, and the stewardess...
Flight attendant,
thank you, I'm sorry.
You need to be PC.
My apologies. I'm old and I'm using old language. The flight attendant, when she reclined her seat back, he was eating and asked her to wait until he was done, and she came put it back up till she thought he was done. Then she reclined it back again, and it spilled his drink.
Ah.
And among other things that were going on. Yeah. And the flight attendant, and he complained, and the flight attendant bought him a drink and gave her the stink eye.
Oh.
Well,
you know, regardless of the issue at that moment between the two passengers, it's all about corporate greed. The airlines are making billions and billions of dollars, and they just try to keep sucking up as much as they can because they're, you know, they're, it's Wall Street. They got to answer, and all their investors need to make so much of a return. And it's not just the seating; it's the charging of the bags. It's all these little hidden costs that are absolutely out of control.
So now, just quickly, do you recline your seat on a flight?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
How about but
you?
Hold on.
Do you see that?
I do
it's,
not.
Do you? You don't.
Well, I'm. Yeah. Well, you're I don't have the
you
same.
You don't necessarily need to.
I don't have the same. Yeah. You know.
Space requirement.
Space, I do because I try to get some
rest.
Rest yeah. while I'm on. I hate to fly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two. I'm not a huge person. Okay. And it's tight for me. I like to sit on an aisle. I'm claustrophobic, so I don't like to be up against the window.
Me too, yeah.
And you know, if I want to get out, I mean, here's the other problem too: is I just was on a flight with Kim from Barbados. I had the window seat, she had the middle seat, and there was a woman had the aisle seat, and the woman slept the entire time.
So now, you couldn't get up. So you can't get up to pee without waking her up.
And I have to pee more frequently than most. Yeah. So now I'm sitting there, and now not only am I stuck in there like a sardine. I can't pee. So
gotta,
it was a very, it was a miserable, miserable flight.
You got to wake her up.
We eventually had to because yeah. then Kim had to pee, so we both ended up going. But the airline, I hate the whole
I always go for an aisle seat myself.
I
want that. So if you're a person that goes for the aisle and you plan on falling asleep, You can't get upset if someone wakes you up.
No, I, mean, no. I just want access to
no.
the
That's
bathroom.
Just the way it
no.
is.
No, but honestly, it depends on the flight. Anything over a 4-hour flight, I try to upgrade.
Yeah.
Because to have a little bit more room.
So I'm going to give you my experience. I'm going to give you my experience with Spirit, because I posted about my experience with Spirit, and the reason I'll just go through it quickly. So it's February vacation, and as people know, to travel within February vacation or April vacation, there's just a tremendous amount of people trying to get on these flights.
Right.
And the ticket prices are
reflective.
Very, very reflective of that, and normally it's prohibitive. So one of my lobstermen has a place in Fort Myers, and he goes regularly on Spirit Airlines. And he reports back that he hasn't had any problems at all. And so I'm looking at flights to bring my daughters down to see my mom in Naples. And the flights on JetBlue were like $550 for flights. And they didn't necessarily have flights that would have maximized my time. There were like afternoon flights going out, early morning flights coming home. I would have basically only had 2.5 days in Naples rather than 4 full days in Naples. So the Spirit Airline flight was $300, and the JetBlue flight was $500. And JetBlue was going to charge for bag. JetBlue now has gone to where they always didn't charge you before for baggage. Now they charge you for baggage.
Right.
Spirit also charges you for baggage. And a comment that a lot of people say about Spirit is they nickel and dime you. Well, to that I say, if you start, they're pricing it purposely super low, and it's a la carte. So you don't have to purchase anything that you don't want to. Most people are going to bring a carry-on, so you're going to get charged. You should know that, and you should not be surprised at the airport if you bring a carry-on on Spirit, if you didn't prepay for the, you know, an extra $40 for your carry-on, and they're not giving you snacks. It's going to cost you $5 to $8 for snacks on the plane. But when you add the $40 and the $8 to the $300, I'm at $348 on JetBlue. If I would have flown for $500 and an extra bag, it would have been $540, say, right? That's quite a bit of money.
Right.
So now, none of that would have been okay with me if the plane didn't take off on time or they disbanded the plane. We flew on time. It was a brand new plane, like new car smell, brand new plane. The stewardess told me...
Flight attendant.
Thank you. The flight attendant told me that they have 400 brand new planes on order. And but I will tell you the couple of the negatives. So here's one of the negatives. They don't have any entertainment system, no TV, mm-hmm. and they don't have Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi to me is very big. But
it's huge.
It's huge.
Because you can have your own entertainment at that point.
100%. With a little bit of planning, like I knew that they didn't. I have Netflix. I downloaded a movie onto my iPad. I only had one game that I've been playing for 5 years on my iPad, Monopoly. I had actually added Asteroids and this Flappy Golf game that the girls taught me about, which was a lot of fun. So it wasn't as bad. I would rather have Wi-Fi,
right.
no question about it. There was that. Oh, and the other part, getting back to the reclining seats, the brand new Spirit plane has a slight recline to the seats, but they are not reclinable. There is no button to push it back any further than it is. So you are in there, and you're... That's your space.
Mm-hmm.
My legs were not hitting the seat in front of me. I'm 6 foot tall, mm-hmm. And it was fine. It was perfectly fine for me.
The problem isn't with the reclining of the seats. The problem is the fact that the airlines are squeezing the seats so tight together that makes the reclining an issue. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with it. They've been reclining seats on airlines ever since they've been flying commercial airlines.
I agree with you.
And it's never been a problem. But over the past 10, 15 years, the distance between the seat in front of you is getting smaller and smaller. We just had this conversation with respect to sporting arenas. Look what just happened at the TD Garden.
Right, yeah.
They moved the seats so tight, so close that you, in some of the upper sections, your knees are literally rubbing the seat in front of you.
So
every time you move or the other person moves,
it's all about dollars.
It's all about dollars and cents. It's all about the greed of these corporations making billions and billions and billions of dollars. And you know what? We're still spending the money. So, you know, nothing's going to change. But I think if an airline had a consistent, you know, had a nice, comfortable cabin, had consistent pricing. I mean, let's face it. For you to fly to Florida, let's say fly to Florida the second week in January on, you know, airline Lobster, okay, and the round trip price is $199, right? And they charge it, you know, whatever, included the baggage, so it's another $25. I don't know why $125, I don't know who come up with a price for $125 for a bag or $75. Why are you spending more money for a bag? They should be encouraging you.
I'm going to tell you why.
Well, hold on. Let me finish my rant.
Yeah.
They should encourage you to check your bags, because when people load an airplane, first of all, loading airplanes is, I don't understand how they load airlines from the airplanes from the front to the back. Okay, but nevertheless, they should be encouraging people to check your bags, because when they call up Group A, Group B, Group C, whatever the hell it is, it's like a mad dash so everybody can get their carry-on stuffed in the overhead, because nobody wants to check bags because they're going to pay $120 or $75. Okay. But if an airline, if Lobster Airlines, okay, if their price to fly from here to Fort Myers is $199 round trip the second week in January, why does it go up to $550 round trip or during February vacation? Does it cost the airline more to fly that week?
It's supply and demand.
It's supply and demand. I get it. Yeah. But if an airline was consistent with their pricing and their routes, it couldn't fail. I mean, not that airlines fail anyway, but it would be a great marketing tool, and the airline would become one of the greatest airlines around. It would be consistent with everything, luxury and affordability and all that kind of stuff.
But don't you think that, February vacation or April vacation, like, they're going to get booked up immediately, and they're going to lose out on all those extra dollars that they could?
Well, that's because of the greed. I mean, that's the issue. How much money do they get?
So I think that the reason why they went to why they're going to this model is because when you search for, like, on Google Flights, for flights, they were able to before to not put in the extra fees. So the top result, you had all these parameters that you could search by, and one of the parameters was by price, by flight times, by price. So people were just going to the top, the one on the list, the cheapest flight. And the cheapest flight, when they didn't have to add in the extras, was the one that they were booking. Now they go through, and then when they get to the airport, then they say they gotta get the extra $50. They just want you to book. So it was all, it's all about where they come up in search engines. So it was all of these little things that they could do to, like JetBlue, like their fare is a fare, and American, all these other ones that had been charging for baggage before JetBlue changed, is one of the last ones to change over, really, they were able to be higher in the results when people are online searching for flights. Mm. So if they included the price of the bag, then they would have been further down on the thing.
I still think that the airline should have to encourage people to check bags. I know it's a pain in the neck, but, you know.
I like to check my bag, to be honest.
No. Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah, you got to wait a little bit longer, and you know, but it's
okay,
the
fact. I need a little time to gather myself. You know, Mike Coderre has been having a couple of comments.
Let's hear.
Let's hear from Mr. Coderre.
Let's hear from Mr. Coderre.
Regarding, let me back it up a little bit about the seat reclining. He says he tries to look behind him and make eye contact with the person behind him.
Mike travels like weekly, so he's
that's thoughtful. And he also said something about the airlines. Here, let me see if I can find it again. I'm sorry.
It's cheaper on Spirit. It's cheaper to check.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks for finding that. So yeah, so it's a hot topic for sure.
Yeah.
And Rosemary says she'll only fly JetBlue.
So here's the thing. So I put this post up, and on Facebook last night, there was a ton of people that were saying, "I'll never fly Spirit again." They just flat out.
I didn't notice that.
They just flat out canceled a flight. Now, a question that I have, and I don't know the answer to this, is, because Kate had a bad experience, but it was 7 years ago when they first started. So I'm wondering if they have gotten better through over the years. And I'm wondering if people are saying, like, bad things about Spirit, because I've had bad experiences on JetBlue. You had a bad experience on United.
Right.
I've had bad experiences on American. Terrible experiences.
Equal opportunity bad experiences.
Terrible. But I'm wondering if Spirit is an easy target because it's a discount airline. And people were not used to that, you're getting to the airport and saying you have to pay for a bag, and were like enraged, even though it's becoming more the norm now. And even though a flight on Spirit may be $200, a flight on JetBlue may be $400 for the same flight, but you have to pay for the bag, it's still way cheaper, but people can't put that together. I'm wondering. I don't know. I'd like to hear from people. Mike says, what happens when you need to call someone at Spirit? I don't know what he's talking about. I call someone, there's flight attendants. Anyway, we're going to move on. But those are great.
It's a hot topic, for sure.
It's definitely a hot topic. Yeah. Anytime people fly, their senses are heightened.
Right, they're already kind of agitated.
Definitely. I want to do a shout out to my friends at Feather and Wedge. We went there, and the reason I want to give them a shout out is a special reason. And we have a bunch of restaurants to get to here, but what really knocked me I was really happy about was they are using local crab meat. There's not a lot of restaurants that I see featuring local crab and local crab meat on their menus, and they are. It's kind of like, I consider it almost like an underutilized species, and local crab meat, I don't actually bring local crabs home because it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. but you can get local crab meat already shucked, and it's relatively inexpensive, and it's delicious.
It's yummy.
It is so delicious. So I had a crab and avocado salad. It was out of this world. You can get it at Conley Seafood. They have crab meat in little containers. I have one mm-hmm. in my fridge that I'm looking forward to getting to. So on the menu that night when we went two nights ago, they also had skate.
Oh, I don't like skate.
Well, they had it, which is kind of a local thing that they're using local products. And so shout out to them. And one other thing, what I noticed recently, when I do Google, when I'm going to call a restaurant, just in the past week or so, a couple weeks, when I do a Google search for the restaurant so I can call them to make a reservation, it seems like OpenTable and Resy, which are apps, are now integrated with the Google search results. So you can make the people that are using these systems, you can make without having to make the phone call and them get back to you if they're not open, you can make that right through Google your reservation.
I've done it at Duckworth's.
Yeah. And I made it at, I don't know if it was Duckworth's or Tano, and I made it at Feather and Wedge the other night, just without having to talk to anyone. I wonder if you actually have the reservation.
Yeah, I recently used the Resy, not through Google, but I went and looked up the Feather and Wedge website, and they, you know, when you click make a reservation, it goes right to there. And it was so easy
super
and awesome.
Super easy. Yeah. Super easy, especially when you just, you know, you can say, okay, Google, you know, find Feather and Wedge.
And and it shows you the open times. And
right. And yeah,
which is
right.
Nice.
It has all the
really
times
nice.
That are already open.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, how
I like
many
that.
Seats. And then you can put a little note of a request. Like, mm-hmm. we like to be seated near a heater, you mm-hmm. know, in the middle of the winter, mm-hmm. which was really nice. Duckworth's, did we talk about Duckworth's last podcast?
Only that they had just recently reopened after their...
We talked about the new sign?
Renovation.
They have a new sign, they have new renovation, and the sign, if you notice, just says Duckworth's. It doesn't say Duckworth's Bistro.
I did not notice that.
And I was talking to Ken, the owner, one of the owners, him and his beautiful wife, and he was saying the reason they didn't put the bistro on there is because it's kind of confining, and they say they want their space to be much more. They're having their
It does put
book
a picture
clubs.
In people's heads, I think.
Well, they're having book clubs there. They're having more events there, so they didn't want it to be a restrictive thing. It's Duckworth's, like almost like a community space. So you wanted people to know that. So there's that. Pat, you want to speak? You want to talk about Oliver's Harbor?
Yes, we went to Oliver's Harbor for the first weekend it was open. I think it was Saturday night, and we were very pleased that we did not experience what you might normally experience in an opening in the first few days of a restaurant being open. We didn't experience any glitches or anything like that. The food was really good. It was full. There were a lot of people in there. It was opening weekend.
Yeah.
And I saw several familiar faces behind the counters and with the servers. So that was nice.
Did they do anything to the room was already beautiful. I didn't think it needed
only,
anything.
Only on the walls. The rest of the physical part of the room is exactly the same.
I think that's smart.
The bar seating.
There's so many times there's a nice room, and like a restaurant person goes in and they feel like they have to redo the whole thing.
The bar seating area is exactly the same.
Yeah.
It was a nice setup.
It was a nice setup.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah, me too. Sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. What did you order and how was it?
I thought about you because I got the filet mignon.
So what do you, why do you say that?
Because we talked about it recently that you said that women generally seem to prefer filet mignon because you don't want to wrestle with the gristle,
right.
Which is true. I don't like to wrestle with the gristle.
It's a little sexist, Joan.
Well, a filet has less fat in it. Yeah, it's tender, but it also has less fat, but it also has less flavor.
So what you're saying is someone like Pat would never order a tomahawk?
Probably not the best cut for her.
No. I'm knock it till you try it.
Yeah, I'm forgetting what Jim got right now. We did do a post about it, and I featured the food, and I can't remember what he got, but
I'll go back and look to your post.
And they have a lunch menu, I noticed. I haven't seen them open at lunchtime yet, but I haven't looked that hard for it yet. But maybe that's for springtime and summer. I don't know. Because I did not see them open at lunchtime yesterday on Saturday down on Main Street. So, but we'll go back for sure.
The Gloucester Times reported. So now there was a big thing about Safadi had messaged me and Wendy's is not coming to Gloucester.
Right.
I said, that's fine. I says, because Gloucester Facebook group had reported this, and we went and we clicked on the link on the web, Wendy's corporate website, and they did have a, looking for positions. So it wasn't completely unfounded that people would think that they were coming.
Right.
But Gloucester Times is reporting that Sam Park, who is the developer of, at Gloucester Crossing, two very exciting kind of restaurants going to be opening up there.
I saw that.
A steakhouse / tavern and a sushi / hibachi style restaurant coming to Gloucester Crossing. And the steakhouse is going to have some outdoor seating.
And family friendly.
That space is really coming along.
They're always building something up there.
Well, it's starting to fill out, which is which is encouraging.
Very encouraging.
I'm happy about that.
I also read in the recently regarding the downtown area, East Gloucester, that the Writer Center is missing its pencil.
Oh, stolen?
Apparently stolen.
No. Wow.
So if you see the pencil somewhere other than on the Writer Center building.
What is going on?
Please return it. It does look kind of funny when you drive by there, I'll say.
That's
I could see it right. I noticed it right away. Trying to imagine.
That's horrible.
What is wrong with people?
It probably sounded like a great joke, but anyway, hopefully it'll be returned.
Yeah, Ralph, the Bruins have made a recent moves.
Yeah, the Bruins have made a recent move. They're looking to make another move. There's been a lot of talk about a hometown boy possibly coming back to Massachusetts. Boxford's own Chris Kreider, who plays for the New York Rangers. Bruins are seriously looking at him, along with the Avalanche, possible Washington. Bruins had a little bit of a bad night last night. They're on a 3-game road trip, and they just got annihilated last night by Vancouver. I think it was 9-3. I closed my eyes, and it was I was like, okay, I've seen enough of this. Stop.
They were on like 11-1 run.
Yeah, they were on a good tear, but you can just tell, hockey people will look at this team and say, oh my God, these guys are just spent. I mean, they looked, it was almost like you know, a professional team playing a high school team last night. They were just, they had nothing.
Nothing.
Bruins have a lot of talent. They're a great team. But, you know, these road trips take a lot out of you. Mm. It's not just, you know, people realize, you know, they're watching the game today, then they watch the game Tuesday, then they don't realize what's involved in the traveling and all everything. But so they're really, really tired. They need a good little rest. But back to the trade talks. If the Bruins are going to make a serious run for the Cup, they just acquired one player that will definitely help on the Krejci line, I believe, if they put him on the Krejci line. But they need one more player to play on the Charlie Coyle line. And if they can solidify the third line, I think the Bruins have another legitimate shot at a Cup run this year again.
See, Reed says, too many back-to-back games.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's too many back-to-back away games. Yeah. I mean, you know, Steve's a huge Bruin fan, as am I. But you know what? They're in good shape. They're gonna make the playoffs very fun to watch. If they can pull off one more solid player, I think they have a legitimate chance. So.
There was a question. How much was your filet at Oliver's Harbor?
Ooh,
if you remember,
I think it was around $28 or $30.
That's reasonable.
That's what they go for nowadays. And now there was also
this is awesome.
There was a really special. Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, I believe it was the Hurricanes were playing, I think, the Maple Leafs, and the Hurricanes goalie came out to make a play, and I haven't heard anything if he's doing oh well. He walked off the ice, so I think he's going to be fine. But he came out to make a play. He came out almost to the blue line to send the puck, and one of the players on the Maple Leafs collided with him, and you know, I think that he had to go into this
concussion protocol.
So anyway, the Hurricanes had to bring in, they have this emergency goaltender replacement.
Oh, I saw this in the paper.
They brought out, now I didn't tell you this because you were asking before the show, what was the hype all about, and it didn't make sense to you, but they ended up bringing out a 42-year-old Dave, I think his name is Dave David something. 42-year-old backup Zamboni driver goalie.
No.
Yes, I saw
the guy that. Drives a Zamboni, and he's 42 years old. Wow. I mean, 42-year-old is still young, but for professional goalie or hockey player, it's pretty old. Well, they won the game.
Yeah.
And the team just
went nuts
afterwards in the locker room.
Yeah.
This guy, I think his number's number 90. They're already starting to print shirts and sell shirts for this guy, and it was a great moment for someone like that to come out and getting called. You know, they threw together equipment to get this guy on the ice, and all of a sudden he come out of the locker room onto the ice. And this is one thing that a lot of people don't understand about goalies. If you're a pitcher in baseball, you get called out of the bullpen. You get on the mound and you start throwing until you're ready or warmed up. And then the umpire says, "You ready?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm ready." In hockey, if you're a goalie, you come off the bench, you're in net, they drop the puck. There's no warm up.
Yeah.
You know, so he could have been greasing the Zamboni out back.
Yeah.
They call him and said, "You know, like Melon, put your suit on. We need you." And he runs out onto the ice and gets a net, and he was lights out.
It was
a great moment. It was good for him.
People, I know it was all over social media this morning, which is awesome.
Those feel-good stories are
it was really cool. I like that stuff. Gives hope for us people that have a dream.
So, keeping with the hockey theme, 40 years ago yesterday,
yes,
a miracle on ice.
Yes.
Send chills down your spine.
No matter who you were.
No matter who you were, it united a country. Where were you? And Pat, did you live close to Lake Placid? I don't know.
We were in New York, the same central New York. So, you know, it's
a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
So our friend Steve Reed, his lovely bride Kim, is from Saranac, which is Saranac Lake in Lake Placid. I want to say it's 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes the most.
They're close. Yeah.
Right there. And she, and I believe her father kind of maybe might have worked there, like helped out during the Olympics.
Well, they need a
she
lot
was
of
a big part of you know that, and they were there. It was very exciting, she said. But yeah, I've been out there several times because our boys played hockey, you know, and we would go out there for these tournaments. And they
do a pretty impressive facility even today.
Fabulous job with these hockey tournaments, and the kids get to play on the 80 rink where they played, and then they have these videos, and it's just a great take for a young kid now who, and you know, all the young players, hockey players, watch that movie.
Oh yeah,
I don't know any hockey player that has never seen that movie.
I put a link to you can watch. I could watch if that movie was on, and I'm scrolling through the channels. I'm stopping at that movie. It's one of those movies.
Yeah, I was watching it last night before Kim and I were going out to dinner, and I'm watching it, and I was getting ready, and I ran out of the bath. I go, "Here's the part where Herb Brooks gives his speech
yeah.
You know, and then
you can look up that speech on YouTube.
There's a YouTube video of a little kid. You should
doing
the Herb Brooks, and he really played it up really good, you know. But it's one of my favorites.
It's a great movie. Do you remember where you were, Pat?
I don't remember it specifically. It was my first year of teaching, and that entire year is a complete blur. Total blur.
So I was that week or a couple weeks before, I went on a YMCA ski trip up to Crotchet Mountain. And my first time going up to the lesson on the T-bar, I fell off the T-bar, and I was coming down the mountain, halfway down, on the bunny slope, and I fell over.
You should have said Black Diamond, Joe. It would have made the story a lot better.
I fell over on the bunny slope, and my binding didn't release, and I broke my leg.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
So my parents had to come up there, grab me. Brought me home. And remember the old cast, the big plastic Paris? Yeah, like they weighed like 50 pounds. So I was in this big full-size bed. And while my friends were still in school, those games were during the day.
Right.
While people were in school, I got to watch the whole run.
Oh, my gosh.
Every single game. Sweden, so
I got to watch all the games and watched it live.
Good for you.
That was the one... saving grace right there. Suzanne LaFada is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, hi, Suzanne.
Paula watched it too. So, yeah, that was amazing. The hands-free law is in effect today, first day.
Yes, and I broke it at 7:55 this morning already.
You're going to be getting a ticket in
I forgot.
I'm wondering
Somebody texted me on my way over here.
Well, you can do hands-free.
With texting?
You can. You can speak to it.
I will have to look at my phone and figure that out.
If you have an iPhone, you can say, hey, the girl's name, and then text Pat Dalpiaz, and that would...
But you still have to press the button.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
In theory, the law is you're not supposed to be touching it.
Sure?
Except to put it in hands-free mode.
Are you sure you have to... You have to,
well, if I want to send a text to you right now, I would just hit the button. I'd say, text Joe Jimitaro.
I'm
going to
say right here. Okay, I'm going to put the phone down.
Yes, Mike is right. It's only warnings until the end of March. I did read that.
Oh.
But it would do, based on how many people I see when I'm driving, there will be a lot of reminders will be needed.
I'm curious if they're going to be like a lot of sting operations the first week.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the first couple weeks, month, they might see someone, they might pull over and say, listen, I'm going to give you a warning. We're just letting you know that this is in effect. You know, I don't think they're going to stop whacking people over the head right away.
Well, I'll say this. I have, Craig Kimberly turned me on to a system that I use, and it is, I'm going to switch.
Is Craig watching by any chance?
I don't know, he may be, but I'm going to switch it over to me so you can see what I'm talking about. I have this on the back of my phone. They're these little metal plates. They have, it's a peel-off sticker, and it's, the adhesive is virtually impossible to get this off. It's on the back of my cell phone case. In my car.
I have the same thing.
Do you have the one with the ball? Yeah, you got it too. So there's a, on Amazon, I'll put a link in the show notes. Very simple that you adhere this.
It clips to your vent.
Mine has a 3M
Oh, okay. I have a clip that goes on my vent, and I get in my car, I just stick it to it.
Stick it on, and it comes off easily.
And then I have the CarPlay. I have the Apple CarPlay.
Right. For people that don't have that Apple CarPlay, so the phone will just stick on the mount, and you can. I use it for my GPS and stuff like that, because I don't have CarPlay. My truck is 8 years old. But the link is in the show notes. They're like right around $10. They work the nuts, and you can have mounts in several different locations for what you want to do. And that way, you really don't have mm-hmm. to use that. So there's that.
Just as long as people are aware.
Yeah. No. There are things there that are available. I'm over here. I want to make sure. Oh, I wanted to give a shout out, Charlene, our friend Charlene, Chris's wife.
Shasha
has a new listing, 24 Cobblestone Lane, Unit 301, Pondview Estates, $310,000. I got a link in the show notes.
And if we help with the sale, we get a commission.
Huge. I wish. That would be nice. But yeah, no, there's that.
We'll get profit sharing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, we're part of the marketing. Yeah. So we should be getting our fair share. Legally, we're entitled to that.
Savor Wine and Cheese is Savor Wine and Cheese is having a wine seminar. There's the second in their series, exploring the wines of Portugal, and so you can sign up for that. Let's try to see if we have anything else in here. We're gonna have. Brandon Pratt is coming in this week, and we're also going to mention Tim Sanborn is going to come in this week.
Oh, he's doing the other half of his.
He's going to do the other half. He's going to do the commercial. So anybody that has any questions for Tim, I'll put a note when we're going to do
and
that.
And Brandon Mortgage.
Brandon Pratt has been so incredibly busy because interest rates had hit another crazy low.
Right, so, right. So if you have questions about house mortgages and loans, then
you can look for that. Yeah, for so that. I think Tim is tomorrow, and then Brandon is the following day. Those won't be traditional podcasts. Those are just going to be kind of like just pieces with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's it for the podcast. Mike out here giving us some good information.
Yes, he is.
You can use GPS from your phone, and that's not a violation. Is with the hand free. Mark McCoy, who's a policeman, he's been chiming in, and it's warnings for the first month.
And the updates on Mom's Kitchen is hang on.
I heard that Mom's Kitchen is waiting for
a fire
alarm. They have to put in a new fire alarm system or something of that sort. So they're waiting for that. But the restaurant is pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
So very excited about that opening.
Yeah. Yeah. And they said...
They said another month, I think.
No. I don't know weeks. About that. I think it's like any day.
Waiting for that?
They're just waiting for that.
Watch Facebook and they'll make the...
Yeah.
They said keep going to their Facebook page and they'll let everybody know.
I can't wait to go to that.
Oh, that place is very phenomenal. Exciting. So, yeah, there we go. GloucesterCast 384 is in the books. Thank you, everybody, for watching.
And a special thanks to... did I just squeak a little bit on... Special thanks to Chris McCarthy for not showing up today.
I didn't even see him on hopping on here.
I didn't even
know. He doesn't do Facebook. Chris is
Facebook.
Oh,
that's right.
I didn't even realize he wasn't here.
Well, we didn't have him on the soundboard doing the fart noises every 10 seconds.
That's right. It was a non-farting experience.
I don't think we mentioned bathroom-related things.
There'll never be a bathroom-related conversation.
No toilet paper talk, no fart talk.
Wow.
No poop talk.
How did everybody like that?
We'll see how that goes.
We'll find out.
But just to make everybody feel comfortable.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
That goes out to Chris.
Thank you guys for showing up and hanging out with us. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow with Tim Sanborn with the commercial solar information.
Goodbye, everybody.